Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody. Hello, friends. Welcome to that. I wasn't trying to sound like McConaughey right there. I'm sorry. Now, have you noticed people are doing that? I hear people do, all right. Everybody's trying to do that. I was not trying to do that. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
All right. My name's Hino.
Wow. Charles Nelson Reilly meets Matthew McConaughey.
Oh man, thanks for tuning in again tonight. Thanks for tuning in. This show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers and Matthew McConaughey impersonators across the country trying to figure out how stuff works here in Music City.
Yes, we do not know a thing. We're out there slinging songs during the day just like y'all are, but we are able to bring wonderful, talented, brilliant people into the studio, pick their brains, and give you the opportunity to be involved in the conversation as well.
Yeah, and you know how you can do that? You go to Facebook, and you go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow, and you can chime in with your questions and comments right there. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show. Conversation starting right now.
Right now. And in case you haven't heard, this is big, exciting news. If you are a Dish subscriber anywhere in the United States, you can watch us now on TV because the Blue Highways TV network is finally on Dish.
What? That's awesome. Yeah, it's true. You can watch us four times a week on Channel 73 all over the U.S., and for the first time ever right here in Nashville, which is big news for us. We're very excited about that.
Absolutely.
Now, we've got a big show tonight. We've got our pal, hit songwriter, and awesome guy, Rich Fagan, here in the studio with us right now in Hour 1.
That's right. And then we're going to be talking with the Chick Magnets of Old Time Music Circuit.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Mafia Jug Band are going to be here in Hour 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not waste any time, Scott. Why don't you introduce our guest here?
Okay, absolutely. You know how some people live lives that could be a country song?
Yeah.
Our first guest tonight's life could be an entire TV miniseries about country songs. we've all heard the story a million times from a million different people, homeless war vet in Philly becomes recording artist in L.A. and mega hit songwriter in Nashville, does a little time, cheats the Reaper, and is one of the greatest living, currently one of the great American love stories because we all love Rosie. So, just the usual.
The usual story.
The usual story.
Everybody's heard that one.
Nothing unusual here, but what you don't know is he really is one of the sweetest, kindest men we've ever met here in town, and has really one of the snappiest pant collections here in Nashville. You have some pants that I covet.
Yeah.
Your party pants are something special.
Yeah.
He has a new CD out called Redemption, and you should all go buy it as soon as possible. He is a dear friend of the show. We are proud to say, Rich Fagan, how you doing? Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Woo-hoo! Hey, it's good to be here, Scott, Hino. I put out, well, here, I'll read it to you because I put it on my little press release.
He's going to read us his press release now.
Well, I mean, it's reading, talking, because I wrote it, and I probably was.
Okay, just make it sound conversational. Make it sound natural.
This is from the artist. I just put I just put out my first album since my 1979 Mercury debut LP. It's called Redemption, and it's available digitally on iTunes. There's something for the whole family. In my songs, you'll find redemption, romance, a power higher than yourself, a honky-tonk Jesus, a long walk home, some tropical binge drinking, a scary tale with a moral, a drive down Pacific Coast Highway, a song written completely in metaphor, and you'll find true love.
Wow.
Oh, and five people die.
Nice. Wow.
Right up Scott's alley.
That's right. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, and that's it. We're out of time. But, Rich, it was great having you here. No, we got lots of time.
Well, Rich, your new CD is awesome. I've been listening to it for the last few days. It's really good. But it's been a while since you've been in the studio. What kind of got you back? Got you back recording again?
Well, for decades, I've been telling everybody just put out your own product, do it independently, and that way, if the label, if you get a following and you're you're gigging and people, you know, you get a fan base, then maybe you'll get a deal that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you'll get a better deal. But I never put out my own product. I think I slapped a few demos on a CD and sold them at the Bluebird because I needed the money.
Sure, sure.
To get home,
but,
yeah.
We've been kind of struggling, my wife Rosie and I, because we are songwriters. And but she had a little windfall. Oh, yes.
Get into that microphone. We want to hear everything.
Me to come closer to
come
you.
Come closer to me. Hold me, Rich. I'm lonely. No, okay. Talk into the mic.
Well, anyway, she got a little, what do you call it, a retirement thing, lump
uh-huh.
sum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got four tires on the car.
Excellent.
And, you know, got our teeth fixed mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And just paid some bills that needed paying. Paid my lawyer.
Congrats.
And I booked two demo sessions at County Q. And we just did them pretty much like we do a demo. They were done quick,
mm-hmm.
but they were done well. I mean, you know, however long it took to make the song sound great, and then we were done. No long production on it. It's just pretty much earthy. And I think it's, you know, people don't really think of sequencing an album because people don't buy albums anymore.
Right.
That's true.
But, you know, if you put on the first song, it... The flow of from one song to another, I would hope, is interesting. And it just takes you on a trip, like back in the 60s, you know. And
I don't know what you mean, Rich.
Remember
what
when we'd all drop a little bit of blonde?
If you say you remember, you weren't really there.
I know. I was at Woodstock.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a ride, and, you know, as we got close and it got crowded, and I was homeless. I was crashing at this frat house in Philly, and they gave me the ride up. And they stopped for beer, and I said, well, it's okay, man. I'll just walk. I'll meet you in front of the stage.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this. You're not going to meet anybody in front of the stage.
No.
Nobody that you intended to meet.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you ever find them to get back home?
No.
Oh.
No, I found this girl, mm-hmm. and we went skinny dipping. And then I talked her into doing the hokey pokey, and we hitchhiked.
I love that dance.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's really what it's all about.
Wow.
It is.
It is what it's all about.
You turn yourself about.
You turn yourself about.
Yeah. Anyway, those were the days. Like, and you're right. If you remember them, you weren't there.
I'm going to back up a bit, and we're going to talk more about the new project. But you referenced your album back in the 70s, and I was watching on YouTube. I was listening to Rhythm of the Rails.
Oh, yeah. Somebody put it up there.
Somebody put that up there. And I'm just thinking, what, you know, gosh, that was almost 40 years ago. What do you remember most about that time of your life creatively in the studio? I mean, what, because that all just sort of happened, and all of a sudden, how do I say that? I kind of look at all the things you've done through your life, and I'm constantly thinking about Forrest Gump. It's like, and then I was in L.A. and I had a recording deal.
I mean, I was homeless, and Tom O'Terry had a few music people around him, and they said, you need a singer.
Yeah.
So two guys recommended me, and somebody rounded me up backstage at the anyway, it was in Philly. I can't think of the name of the play, the theater. But then again, I was, you know, drinking. And,
sure.
You know, Quaaludes have come back into the conversation lately.
Thanks to Jell-O pudding.
Yeah. And I'll leave that one alone.
Yes, but, it's
but
probably
anyway,
best.
Somebody picked me up and took me over to this guy's house. And I see Robert and Sal, these guys I know. And I go, hey, Robert, Sal. And I stumble and I knocked over three beer cans in it. And a terrarium on my entrance. And Tom said, I like the act so far. If he can sing, we'll take him with it. So he said, play me what you have. And I only had a few songs. And then I played him what I had of The Good Lord Loves You. And he said, is it finished? And I said, no. He said, well, finish it. I started in 1972. Now mm-hmm. it's 1976. I'd finish it. And he booked a demo session. And that was one of the five songs on the demo session. The cassette got to Bob Gaudio's 14-year-old daughter, Lisa Gaudio, who gave it to him. And he listened to it, and he wanted The Good Lord Loves You for Neil Diamond. But he couldn't find me because the business card was shaped and cut out like a razor blade and didn't have a phone number or an address on it.
Well, you know, who needs that on a business card?
So anyway, out of the blue, I hear that the FBI's looking for me. Mm-hmm. And what it was Bob Gaudio hired a private detective to find me. He was ex-FBI, and they have sort of a network
going. Yeah.
So they help each other out. So that's how I heard that the FBI was looking for me. And in the Reading Eagle newspaper, the first press release said, FBI solves diamond caper. Song gem leads to hunt. And that was sort of where I went from obscurity to getting a Neil Diamond cut. And Bob gave me a pop deal. I signed a production deal with him and got a pop deal on Mercury. Got mercury poisoning like everybody else at the time on Mercury.
but when you're in the studio, I mean, so you're in L.A. and you're recording this album out of nowhere.
I mean,
what are you thinking? What's going on in your head? Do you have control over the songs? How's the recording process? What do you remember about that time?
I would assume I did. But
if you say so.
Yeah, I mean, it all just happened so fast. Well, we did what you call pre-production. We went over about 10 songs. Then we went in and we cut, I think, 3, maybe 5 songs. Probably did a session. I don't think maybe one of them songs ended up on the album.
Okay.
So then we went in to cut the album, pretty much knowing what we would do. Except there was one cover tune, Dream Baby, How Long Must I Dream? Sweet mm-hmm. Dream Baby. And there was also a song that Bob Gaudio and then Judy Parker, now Judy Gaudio, mm-hmm. wrote. But they were still writing it when I was in there singing it. And I'd be going, I can't think of how it goes. They go, no, stop. Let's make that. They're still writing it. So that was fascinating. And just see these, you know, the A pickers, the wrecking crew, and
right.
guys like that, you know. It was fascinating. But, you know, L.A. is sort of like a hot meal, you know. After a while, it ain't so hot.
Yeah,
it is.
It cools down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reality hits in that no matter how much money you have, somebody's got more.
It's true.
Now, Nashville is actually the new Hollywood, but
that's what I
understand. All the actors are moving here and doing country music. Excuse me, I bumped into the microphone here.
That's all right.
It's very nice mic.
Thank you.
Well, thank
you.
Thank you.
We spare no expense here at WSM.
It's like a Presidente of microphones.
Well, here's some reality. We have to take a break, unfortunately, but we're going to come back. In just a few minutes. In the meantime, we want to let you know that Toyota of Our Cool Springs, Our Lady of Cool Springs, is our sponsor this half hour. And Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we love that dealership a whole lot.
Yes, we do. Not only because they're so committed to giving their customers an excellent experience and excellent deals, but they're just good people. That you walk in there and you don't get jumped by salespeople. The waiting room is super comfortable. I actually don't mind going in. I don't like going anywhere. I am a grumpy man.
I've noticed that.
But I like going in there. People are nice. It's fun talking to them, and they just take good care of you. George takes good care of you. You need to ask for him.
Absolutely. George is the owner. Ask for him, and check out their website, toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back in just a few moments with hit songwriter Richard Fagan here in just a few seconds on The Music Bro Show.
You ready? Here we go. Well, I went down to the Grundy County auction, where I saw something I just had to have. My mind told me I should proceed with caution, but my heart said, go ahead and make a bid on that. And I said, hey, pretty lady, would you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine or mine. I'll do your bidding and beach, make it hard.
Oh, yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. You know that song, that's called Sold. John Michael Montgomery, and that was written by our guest here this hour, Rich Fagan. Actually, you wrote that with, who'd you write that with?
Rob Royer,
all right. That's a great song. That's a mouthful.
Why,
those,
thank you.
You can sing those lyrics.
Yeah, it was Rob's idea to write an auction song, and I just brought my brains along that day. And I think we wrote it mostly in one sitting, maybe two sittings, but we wrote a lot of it in first.
Sweet.
It got picked up pretty quick.
always the good thing.
I like that.
Well, you've had a very, as Scott has mentioned, very long and successful career. Looking back, what's been the most surprising aspect that maybe the younger you would not have believed would have happened or never saw coming?
Well, maybe that it kind of came and went before I even knew I was anybody. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you know, like early on, I got asked by, to me, some lady in New York City phoned and said, wanted me to do this gig at the Presidential Suite, the Opryland Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, you know, I figure it was no big deal. I could have got, see, I have Philly Billy, and this was before Casey, but there was another girl, Jennifer and Joe, could have come along. We could have went bam and just really done a great show, but I figured it wasn't that important. And it was country radio seminar, and you know, right. Tony Run, they're all talking. I didn't grab their attention. I was more, you know, eager waiting to get them fried banana and peanut butter sandwiches because Elvis's cooks were over on the side making them sandwiches, and I must admit that was my priority that night. So. And, you know, just stuff like, you know, I've played the Ford Theater, you know, at the Country Music Foundation about 3 times.
Yeah.
Many dubious achievements, you know. I'm trying to think of one.
Okay.
Got my picture taken with Monica Lewinsky once.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's not something everybody can say.
I heard she's going country. Anyway. we got to get on something else. You know, I was going to do a song, and I haven't even opened up yet, but like when I pick up the guitar, you know, you always do something that's just really got you right now. And excuse me, I'm veering off the mic there, but I wrote a song with John Burry and Brian Mabry.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just the most beautiful song. It's way high up. It's about a step and a half beyond my range. But this is radio, so it's okay.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Really?
I mean, singer-songwriter.
The proper capo will fix that, right?
Yeah, well, no. My phone is beeping in my pocket. So, folks, I just hope it's in key. And now we'll set the tone. From the first time that we kissed, we both knew that was it. We fell in love like kids right from the start. And when we stood and said I do, deep inside I knew you'd be forever in my heart. And I thank the Lord above for your precious love. Heaven only knows a love this true. There could never be another love for me but you. Sometimes I watch you sleep when you're lost in peaceful dreams. I'm amazed at just how beautiful you are. And I need you more each day, so much more than words can say. And I miss you every moment we're apart. And I thank the Lord above for your precious love. Heaven only knows love this true. There could never be another love for me but you. And I thank the Lord above for your precious love. Heaven only knows the love this true. There could never be another love. No, there could never be another love. There could never be another love for me but you. That's for you, Rosie.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
I love that song.
That is awesome. Rosie's smiling right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's listening to
Absolutely.
The show in bed.
All right.
Man, oh man, that's beautiful. Let's talk songwriting a bit. I heard you say once that you want to try to write songs that are smarter than you. And I have no idea what that means, which means I'm really I'm hopeless here.
One quick example is when I had a pop record deal, but I wasn't touring, I wasn't really making much of a draw, and we're living in an apartment, me and Tom, in North Hollywood, and I met some new friends, and somebody made one of them little Whitman samplers, like the cross stitching mm-hmm. things, you know, to put up in the kitchen, and it said, "May the joy of life abide in the time we spend as friends." And I said, "Tom, that's beautiful." And he said, "You wrote it, you idiot." It's the tag of a song I wrote, but seeing it by itself, I didn't know. But no, like... wow. But, you know, they're just things that happen like... smarter than you. Well, I mean, my first cut, Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
You know, in songwriting, they say, get to the hook quick.
Right.
One line, two lines, three lines. The good Lord loves you. I couldn't do that with a gun to my head today. I mean, you know, on purpose. It just kind of happens. And lyrically, you know, the last verse of the good Lord loves you says, I wish I could tear down the walls that keep us apart. I didn't think about it much, but... I got a lot of royalties from communist bloc countries where they were playing it.
Oh.
Yeah, Berlin Wall. So, you know.
So maybe to write smarter than yourself, you almost have to get out of your own way.
Well, yeah, we're not knowing any better. That's
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it really is. It's being childlike. It's being just inspired. When I wrote Time Slips Through My Fingers, I was... homeless. I was crashing somebody's house in Elephant, Pennsylvania. Anybody here from Elephant?
Whoop, whoop.
It's no, just down really. The road from Blue Ball and Intercourse. I'm not kidding. They're Pennsylvania Dutch.
Wow.
To them, it's not bad. But anyway, we have listeners, you know, out there. It's great.
I wonder how many people are reaching for Google Maps right about now just to find out if that's true.
On the title song to Redemption.
Yeah.
It's a good example. I wrote it by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote down what I thought was a provocative first line. I never read the morning paper. I never watch the evening news. It sat for 3 weeks. I was staying at a halfway house at the time, and, you know, so I wrote two verses, and I looked at them, and I went, those first two lines, that's the weakest line of the whole song, but I'll just finish it and see how it goes. So I write the bridge, and after the bridge, I went, they put me in the morning paper. They put me on the evening news. What a setup. Boy, that guy's smart. No, he isn't. He just, like, I saw it. I went, that, I mean, it's sort of like God writes it for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that song's much smarter than me. I couldn't have crafted it. And I think songs like From a Distance and The Rose,
right.
You know, these standards, they were written like that. I don't think somebody sat there and go, oh, I'm going to make it at the end. It's, you know, The Rose. No, they just sat down with pen and paper, piano, guitar, whatever, and it started coming out, and at some point they went, wow.
Yeah.
Man. So you write a lot or have written a lot with different artists, like that last one you wrote with John Barry.
How do you go about?
I was just going to say Luke Bryan writes smarter than himself.
Oh, no, come on.
I'm kidding, Luke. He knows I kid.
I kid because I love.
Yeah.
So how do you go about figuring out what kind of song to write for an artist, especially if you get a chance to write with them? What do you do? What process do you use?
Don't try too hard and just see what they want. Mm-hmm. Wait for their eyes to light up at something. And then just let it find its way to till you have something that you know you can work with. I'm writing with this 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. Jeez, what's her name? Riley Roth. Man, is she talented. And she can write. And we just got together. I think I came up with a hook just because it sounded good. You know, it's sort of pop country. And, boy, we wrote it in one sitting. It's... Next time I fall in love, wanna fall in love with someone who loves me. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it's kind of ripping off Pharrell a little bit, but you know it's okay.
That's all right. We're all one big happy family. We're songwriters, right?
It's 12 notes in the universe.
That's true. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of hit songwriter Rich Fagan here on the Music Row Show. Come on back.
So was I over the line?
Hey now, pretty mama, sure all looking fine. Here we are parked in my car, better keep one thing in mind. It's a long walk home. It's a long walk home. I hope you got your good shoes on, cause it's a long walk home.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's It's a Long Walk Home off Rich Fagan's brand new project called Redemption,
which is available on iTunes right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs on the album. Personal experience there, Rich? Or talk about writing that one.
Me and Chris Clark wrote that. He was our staff writer for a while. And we just got together to write a song. And he wanted to write something blues. And somehow all we had to do was touch on the put out or get out theme.
Right.
And from when we were little kids, we just remembered all these little lines. And that's what it's... You know, when I play it at the Bluebird, I always say, here's a misogynist blues song with a happy ending for the ladies so that they don't get mad because it seems very, you know.
It does turn around.
It turns around.
Well, yeah. my wife and I, we were listening to it probably two or three times today, and we just busted out laughing every time the line came around, put her finger out the window. I mean, that's talk about a rhyme. That's a rhyme. You don't find that in a rhyming dictionary. It's awesome.
With her finger out the window, I can swear I hear her say it's a long walk home.
Yeah. Well, since you have that guitar strapped on again,
we
you
actually
feel like...
had a request.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, listener Michael asked if you could do an autographed picture of Jesus.
Well, I just happened to strike a G chord.
All right.
I got it. I hope that's the key it's in.
Yeah.
I got an autographed picture of Jesus. I met him a long time ago. In a honky-tonk bar where he played guitar and he talked to me after the show. Well, I really enjoyed all his stories and the bartender liked him just fine. But he'd look at him strange every time Jesus changed his order of water to wine. I got an autographed picture of Jesus. Yeah, he was one hell of a man. He was never afraid when he sang and he played. He could instantly make you a fan. Well, he gave all his tips to the homeless and shared bread with everyone there. And whenever he spoke, his cigarette smoke would circle his beard and long hair.
They say one night he was arrested, though he was an innocent man. The judge tried to crucify him, but I heard he got free again. I got an autographed picture of Jesus. I was blind till he made me believe. All men are brothers, we're here for each other, and it's better to give than receive. I got an autographed picture of Jesus. Yeah, and right on the bottom it says, "Farewell, my friend, till we meet again." Signed, Jesus Rodriguez Perez. Farewell, my friend, till we meet again. Signed, Jesus Rodriguez Perez.
There you go.
You heard it here, folks.
All right. Hey, Rich, we got about a minute here. I got to ask you, because you've been on the songwriting scene for, like we said, over 40 years. How tough is it to get a new idea? And have you ever started a song and realized, you know, I think I wrote this 25 years ago?
Well, both happen. I mean, yeah. More of the last thing. But I guess it's hard to get a new idea until you get one. And then you go, why didn't I think of that before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a million done, but there's probably a million left. But it's weird, you know. We never thought about it much when we were kids. I'm sure some people did, but there's a lot of people in the world.
There is.
I got to this town, there was less than a half a million people here.
Right.
I mean, there was just a handful of other songwriters, really. And, you know, I guess every few years there were different migrations, and I came with the 1985. God, I got,
I'm gonna
here
say
in 85.
Okay.
And like Kathy Mattea and John Vesner, Casey Jones, Mickey James, I mean a bunch of others all came right around that time and joined the people already here. Becky Hobbs, Bud Lee. What a town. But I mean, I think it's lost a lot of that small town friendliness where all us writers know each other.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break, and we're going to come back and get to know Rich even more here on the Music Row Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Exploding in our hearts, tangled up in the backseat of my car. Moonlight shining through the trees, a magnolia on the evening breeze. Feeling you against my skin, going places we've never been. I want to be here by your side, I'm making love to you.
Yes, we're back.
Yes, we
Katrina's
are.
Katrina's looking at us like, hello.
Wow,
we were listening.
We're
listening to Richard Fagan. One
kiss and that's a song called Another Night Like This. Richard Fagan off his brand new project called Redemption, which you can find on iTunes. I just pulled it up on iTunes. Just look for Richard Fagan. Right there it is on iTunes.
Okay. We had a listener that was having a hard time
trying to find. They probably typed in Rich.
It's Rich Fagan. It's Richard.
Well,
it's Richard.
I had a hard time getting on one time. My computer's possessed. But it brought me to two other sites that were selling my song, so I suppose that's okay.
There
the one's
go.
Russian, but, you know.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
They're making a good deal. Sure. Come buy my record. Anyway.
Perfect. Now, wow. Okay. This has been a quick hour.
It has been.
I had
flying by.
Real quick, because I think, you know, a lot of the people that listen to the show say they want to hear more about songwriting and the business of songwriting. So I've heard that I come to town and I can write one song and then kick back and live in style for the rest of my life. Is that that's true, right, here in Nashville?
Probably somebody can.
We haven't found them yet.
No, because I mean, I think people think that.
David Bronfman that owned Seagram's, that owned Universal.
Sure.
He wrote one song and got a Celine Dion cut. What's the odds of that? But he worked for Universal, so.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, it's hard to get a cut, and it has become more of an inside game. Maybe it was to some extent when I moved here, but you know, back during the boom, they started, the big publishing companies started signing young writers that never wrote a lick in their life, and then they hook them up with other writers, and then they hopefully get them a deal, and sometimes that works out that way. And that's an impetus for a good writer to try to sign with a big company if they have interest in being an artist.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Well, I've also been talking to writers. Scott, I don't know if he's the same writers you've been talking to, but sometimes writers feel like they might get into a rut and they notice that a lot of their songs are starting to sound the same. Has that ever happened to you? And what did you do to get out of that?
I don't know. You know, I mean, a rut is one thing, and they probably did start sounding the same. If I was into a shuffle bit, and you know, I was writing shuffles, then got to a point where, you know, I think I got a lot of shuffles, and some of them suck. I just was into it because they were shuffles.
Right.
Overnight Mail was a shuffle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I wrote it, same tempo as Texas Swing, but more of like a jump beat. It makes the lyrics sound dirtier when I sing it. I don't know why. Same song.
Yeah.
But really,
that's a gift you have.
You know,
I
mean, songwriting is for the love of it, and you have to have that because it's a tough business. Other than that, I mean, there's books on the subject, but I mean, you come to town, there's a natural gravitation to hook up with people doing the same thing you are. Maybe you get to somebody that's just about to be signed or is signed to a publisher, and then you write with them. And you might meet one guy that's trying to be an artist, and you write with him and he becomes an artist. Like, look at Garth Brooks. The few people that wrote with him is who he stuck with.
He opened for you once, didn't he?
He did at the Commodore.
Yeah.
The Holiday Inn. Yeah, I should have said hi.
Yeah, well, you know.
Darn it!
I'm sure he's listening right now. You can say hello.
Hi, Garth. Yeah, I mean, you know, what? I knew one guy. He came up to this guy that was gigging. We all know him, but I won't say his name.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think I did last time, but he might be listening. Anyway, Garth said, I'd really like to cut that song. And he said, well, I'm kind of saving this one for myself. So.
Yeah.
And then
famous last words.
Gino Pistilli, and a wonderful man, won Song of the Year for Too Gone Too Long, Randy Travis. Excuse me, I'm getting off the mic again. But anyway, Garth came up to him and said, I'd really like to write with you sometime. And he goes, I don't think so, pal.
Wah, wah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories like that.
New York, you know, they're a little gruff.
Well,
they smoke camels.
That's what happens. Well, thanks, Rich, for putting up with us for another hour and coming and hanging with us.
Go to iTunes, Richard Fagan Redemption. Look it up.
It's really good. I've been listening to it all day. Trust me, you'll love it.
And we got you all.
Yeah, Richard Fagan, I should say that right. On iTunes. Hey, we got another great hour of the show coming up. We've got the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band coming in to join us in just a few minutes, and they are so much fun. You don't want to miss that. So come back in a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.